Welcome back. It's Friday Night Sports Talk with your host, Ray Bishop, on Urban Māori Radio Wātea, 6:03 a.m.
Kia ora whanau, nau mai hoki mai ki tēnei hotaki ringi te wāte ono rei mā toru te ia rere. Tino honra re mā kū ki te kōrero pāniki ngā tangata rungunui o te ao meke meke. It's a wonderful, wonderful, respectful time to welcome to our Friday Night Sports Talk. Brother David Tua joins us to be able to share some of the beautiful things that have happened in your boxing career, brother. Welcome to the show. It is an honour for us to have you join us on the show, brother. Thank you.
Tēnā koe, rangatira Raymond, tihei Māori ora, enga hau e whā, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Thank you, firstly, for allowing me the opportunity to be on the show with you, brother. It's an honour. Really, it's an honour, but the honour belongs to the people. Can you hear me, brother?
Yeah, brother. Can hear you, brother. Thank you so much, bro. Like you said, the honour belongs to the people, and it's been a consistent theme of yours since you started, bro. There's always been that humbleness that has accompanied you in your long, illustrious boxing career. We got the chance to be able to celebrate your success with the induction into the Boxing Hall of Fame. What did that mean to you, brother, to be able to be acknowledged by your peers and by the industry that takes so much from people in terms of entertainment, but we treat you? How did that feel to be honoured in that manner?
Very, very humbled, very honoured. For me, it's a great privilege to be given the opportunity to accept this award on behalf of those who have gone before, those are here, and obviously the future generations of the sport.
Mm.
The greatest feeling is to know that we've been acknowledged.
Mm.
So it's the greatest feeling. Yes, absolutely.
If I take you back to the beginning, where was the first punch thrown? How old were you when you kind of knew that this was? I want to be good at this. I want to be good at this thing called boxing. How old were you when that happened for you, brother?
Well, I started learning the sport of boxing as a young boy at the age of 7 years old back in Samoa, and didn't really like it. Didn't like boxing. Hated the sport. And gotten so bad that I thought I was actually adopted because my father was a lot harder on me than the other boys.
Mm.
But all that, on hindsight, as I got older, I realized that God has blessed me with a talent that Dad had prepared me for as a young kid back in Samoa. So for me, I think maybe at the age of 15, 16, I realized that this was a great opportunity for me. Not only it was a sport that I loved at the time, but it was a great opportunity. If I do well, I can help my parents out.
Mm, yeah, that's always a beautiful way to be able to look at it. Looking at the opportunity, how can I give back? I can see what did you vision then? So if you started at 7. And then you didn't really like it, but by the time you get to the age of 15, you're kind of thinking, oh, I can find a career pathway in there. What did you vision for yourself at that age?
Well, I think for me, it wasn't so much of a vision for me in the sport. I think it was more of the vision for me was to help my parents. I saw how tough it was. Mom worked 3 part-time jobs and Dad worked 14, 15 hours a day straight, and our older siblings looked after us. So once I knew, that this was something that I can help and release that pressure on my parents, I went for it, 100%. I gave everything. I sacrificed my time with my friends. I didn't go out. That was my life. That was all I knew.
If you so in that life, what was a normal day for you with regard to the training that, or the exercise or the boxing regime that you would put yourself through at that age? What did that look like? How intense was that?
It was very intense. and it was pretty much hard work. There were a lot of great trainers around. I was very privileged and very blessed to have trained and have been taught by them. And I believe then as well that wasn't enough. I still had to do extra stuff. So when I wasn't at the gym, Dad would take me to Otahu Rugby League Club, and he used to make me run the hills up and down, you know, up and down. And
Those are some good hills.
great hills. Great hills. You know, and those were some of the greatest memories. And I think around that time, the mind started changing, you know, the mental toughness started kicking in. That, you know, whenever I would feel pain, you know, I'd keep going.
Mm.
You know, I'd realize that, you know, this was the only way.
Yeah, no, fantastic. The so you get a chance from when you're getting into that sport and you're training hard. When do the initial opportunities come your way? When did you first have junior champ opportunities? How did you define your career when you were young by some of the competitions that you went to?
Well, I won the national senior title at age of 15, and obviously then you got there's juniors and there's intermediate and there's seniors.
You won the senior one at 15.
Yeah, not bad, not bad for a Mangere boy, not bad for a Mangere boy.
Nice, brother.
But you know, I realized I wasn't too bad at it. I was decent at the sport, and it was becoming a love for me. So when the opportunity to represent New Zealand in 1990 sort of declined me of my opportunity because they said I was too young. So they said, and it was all politics.
Sure.
I said I was too young, but it is what it is. I was patient. Dad said, "Look, be patient. Your time will come." In 1992, Olympic Games, certainly that opportunity presented itself, and it was a dream come true. But for me, the Olympic Games was more than the great, you know, the greatest athletes of the world meet at this place. So for me, it was winning the gold so I could put a down payment on my parents' house.
Wow.
That's all what the Olympic Games was for me.
So when you say that, was there money available there, or were you talking about like sponsorship opportunities that would come your way to be able to do that?
Sports Foundation at the time.
Oh, so, fantastic!
The medalists and those especially in the gold medal area. I think there was funding, there was money.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah, so I saw that as a great opportunity to help mum and dad. So obviously it didn't go my way, but I was disappointed. Got on the phone and called mum, and I was crying. I said, "Sorry, mum, I didn't get you that promise. The thing I promised you. But I know God works in mysterious ways." 2 hours later, I met Lou Duva, and the rest is history.
Wow.
You know, I went back and I said, "Mum, remember I said God works in mysterious ways. We're going to get you that house. We're going to get you that house."
Yeah, awesome, bro. So, look, you just mentioned one of the greatest names in boxing along with yourself. Tell us about what was special about that man. What was special about Lou Duva, brother?
No, he fights. He fights for you. He fights for his fighters. He loves the sport. Loves the sport, loves his family, and loves people, and he loves to eat.
Wow.
loves to eat. And, you know, I've learned a lot about the sport from this man, certainly the business side of things. But, you know, if there was a man that can help me make my dreams come true, at that particular time of my life was definitely Lou Duva.
Mm. Over your career, who have been, who would you say would have been your toughest opponent outside of yourself? Were you always tougher on yourself than anyone you fought?
Absolutely. I think it has a lot to do with my upbringing. To be quite honest, an upbringing in Samoa, I was born into a privileged life. dad and mum had worked really, really hard, and they had the only convenience store in the village. They had the only car in the village, and everything was pretty much there, so I didn't, didn't struggle. But what mum and dad did, you know, they wanted, and they wanted us kids to make sure that we understood the value of hard work. You know, it didn't change anything. But coming from their life into New Zealand was very, very different, you know, very, very different. But, you know, it's like anything, you know, whatever comes your way, you know, you take it on. And if it doesn't work out for you, you know, you find another way to do it.
Yeah. Hey, in the, right from the word go, I've heard you talk about your dad. What was dad's... what was dad's involvement with the sport? He obviously started training, but did he have a boxing career himself?
Yeah, dad had a decent boxing career as a young fella in the islands, and from some of his friends, and some of his friends said, you know, he said your dad was a very, very good boxer, a really, really good fighter. But didn't like, he hated training. He didn't like training. He was the sort of guy that would turn up on a day, and whoever didn't have an opponent, he was willing to step in there and give everyone a good go for their money. So understanding, you know, how tough it was for him and how he didn't train, and he never wanted that to fall back on us. So he wanted to make sure that we were more than ready for any competition.
Awesome. What was was it hard for mum? Was it hard for mum watching you do your boxing thing? Would, like, you know, like most mums would want to be protective of their babies. Was it hard? Was it hard for mum to sort of, you know, discern between encouraging you but also wanting to look after a boy at the same time?
Yeah, mum was mum, and mum never wanted her kids or her children to get hurt in anything that they do. Until one day, you know, one of my sparring partners didn't turn up, so mum decided to step in there and spar with me. So that was pretty cool.
What was that like,
bro? It was good fun. Well, of course, you couldn't hit back, but it was funny. You know, she fancied herself as a boxer. So,
that would be some amazing photos for memories to have photos with you and your mum gloved up, bro. That would be incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who would you put as your hardest competitor in, you know?
I think everyone. So the mentality of myself fighting in the ring, and I was very privileged to be given the opportunity to fight some of the greatest boxers in the world, and have beaten some of them that have gone on and won world titles. My frame of mind is every fight is a title fight.
Sure.
Yeah, that was pretty much on how I approach everything in the ring, and I think it's transferred that out of the ring now with what I do and everything that I do out of boxing. It's pretty much the same mentality.
Yeah, as I say, I've witnessed I've witnessed some of your sessions, you know, at your gym, and the way that you give back and the manner in which you give back, which is all about, it's all about the people and you passing on your experience and your motivation to help to help others come forward and try and realize their full potential. I was just talking with Huck, and Huck was saying that is there another Hall of Fame that you're being recognized with shortly?
Yeah, it's actually a 3-day at the Florida Hall of Fame. That's next month, June. So another great honor for our giants that have gone past and those who are here in the future of the sport. So once again, we've been acknowledged, and it's the greatest feeling.
When you calling on your, I guess you go to the to that 92 Summer Olympics, and obviously changes your life because you meet up with Lou Duva. What was that like, hearing the national anthem at that level before you go on to do other things? What sort of feelings did you have with regard to that?
It is the greatest feeling, you know. I think for me, words cannot describe, you know, the national anthem and You know, it's all we, I guess, as athletes, all we live for, to hear that being not only been sung but been played. No, it is the greatest feeling.
The you know, bringing, was it always throughout your career, was it always the your Samoan heritage that rang strong right from the word go, or did you move? Did you move more into your your native Samoa? Was it later in your career, or did you always fight from that perspective? Was that always, you know, front of mind for you?
I think it had always been part of what I do and everything that I have done and have continued to do. I'm a proud New Zealander, but I'm 100% Samoa.
Yeah, you know, beautiful.
You know, grateful for this nation of Aotearoa that have allowed and given us the opportunity to see more than what we could have seen back in Samoa.
Mm.
And the knowledge and the wisdom that I've been able to have picked up, you know, in my journey, you know, when I was living in the States and other parts of the world, you know, I tribute to this great nation of Aotearoa, really.
Mm.
So, as like I said, as a 100% Samoan, I'm a proud New Zealand. I'm a proud Aotearoa.
Yeah, beautiful, brother. What was that? What was that sensation? What are your memories of that fight against Lennox Lewis? What was the build up to that particular fight for you? Was it any different to any other fight that you'd have in your preparation to that particular battle?
If there were things that I would have gone back and done differently, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it always seems to be that there were tougher fights outside of the ring than in the ring. There were many storms and many turmoils out of the ring. You know, that people didn't understood and didn't realize and didn't know about. And yet, you know, it's not like rugby, respectfully, that you have 14 other players alongside you.
Mm.
That you can rely on and you can take a whatever. But, you know, in boxing, you can't have a bad day. You cannot have a bad day. And where things were at, I didn't train for a week. And even, you know, I felt okay. But, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, am I really okay? So going to the fight, I knew that, you know, I wasn't 100%. But, you know, I still went out and just did the best I could. And, and how things have turned out, I looked at some of Lennox's fights. You know, once you sort of known that you're hurt. And he knew. I mean, the word got out. You know, it's a small world. They knew I was hurt. And he knew he didn't take his chance, you know, as far as getting me out. Once Lennox Lewis had you hurt, he gets you out. But with that said, you know, he didn't take his opportunity that night because I think something would have happened. But, hey, it is what it is.
Mm. Yeah, I remember watching, brother. I remember watching that. So proud of you. For the way that, even through the way that it went, you know, and listening to some of those stories, it was really hard. It really felt for you, knowing that that you weren't a hundy, that you weren't 100%. But you know, but your own money, your mana carried you across, you know, into that. And we all just love you and proud of you, bro. And you know, how are you seeing the current boxing industry around the world? Is it better than when you left it, when you retired? How does the game look now?
Very very interesting, very very colourful, and I think every era is very different than the era that I was at. I was very privileged. That a lot of those great fighters were in my era, and nowadays and where things are at is, it's very different. You know, it seems that I guess for me, even though it's exciting, you know, with the big, it seems like the bigger guys are coming in, bigger fighters that are sort of dominating the sport. But as far as the, I guess, the credibility and where things are at, it's very different, because it seems like they keep fighting the same guy. I mean, with respect, you know, with Tyson Fury, he's fought the same guy, like, what, how many times now? So really, that you can't really tell if it's credibility of the opponents or where is that in this life with regards to where he stands up against some of the greats, you know, is in questions. But you know, one thing I know for sure is just do the best you can in your era. Do the best you can.
Yeah, bro.
And let the fans and let the writers, you know, make that decision for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely, bro. Certainly the mark. Like you say, you do raise an interesting point when you're fighting the same person, you know, four or five times. And but you know, the way that the old day was that you got challenged by a number of different people, so you got a well-rounded approach from different fighters with different skill sets. There's something that I've always heard of that I've really appreciated was the finesse, I suppose, of the craft of boxing. What were your thoughts? Obviously, you had a lethal combination of the craft as well as straight brute strength, brother, for the way that you demolished a number of people in your time. The work that you'd done going into each individual fight, did you know exactly the execution did you know the plan hands down before you went into it, and it was just a matter of execution of that plan, or did you just play things and that were in front of you at the time?
I think every fight is different. You can learn all the skills, you know, the basic skills, the movements, timing. You can learn and drill that in the gym on your preparation, but it comes down to that actual moment. You know, and my approach is very different. It can be very, very different from the next person. So my whole thing is, so once that bell goes, my job is to get you out of there as fast as I can.
Oh.
And I'm going to walk you down respectfully. I'm going to walk you down, and I'm going to punish you, and I'm going to hurt you, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, you know. And,
sure.
And the sooner I can get you out, the better it is for me. When I was in the amateur, it was very different. I was more of a boxer than a fighter. Once I sort of knew and picked up that I can knock these guys out, then that sort of became my thing. You know, if I can get you out quick, then it's an early night, not only for him, but early night for me. There's no need to, you know, to put that unnecessary punishment on your body if you don't need to.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's exactly what you say. Get him out of there. Get him out of there ASAP, and then go home and have a feed.
yes.
Hey, your
no one.
Hey, your thoughts. On time with Tyson. With Mike Tyson. Did you? What was that like experience for you, bro?
Like in regards to.
Oh, like just, you know, did you get time? Actually, the question I was supposed to ask was did you get time to hang with Tyson?
No, never. So Tyson, I would definitely love to meet him one day. Muhammad Ali, I was given the opportunity at the opening of this movie that was done by Will Smith.
All right, yes.
Ali, the opening in Vegas, and we're all in the same room and with Muhammad Ali, and I saw him, and
wow.
as I was walking up, all these people sort of surrounded him, and then something clicked in me. I said, "Man, you gotta give the man his peace. You gotta let him be."
Sure.
So for me, it was more than enough that I was in the same room with him. It was all good.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't get to meet him, but I was in the same room with him, so I'm fine. So as far as Tyson, so me and Mike fought on the same card. So I was on the undercard when he fought one of the guys. I forgot. I think it was a guy named Orlin Norris. And same thing. So I saw him at the weigh-in, but I never got to to speak with them. So, you know, it is like those crazy moments that you're in the same place, but you know, you didn't get to meet him or shake their hands. But it is what it is. Maybe one day I get to meet Mike.
Yeah, oh, that'd be amazing, bro. That'd be amazing. Hey, the you know, I watched the fight too, and because I like to support the New Zealand battle, and the New Zealand battle that comes to my mind was like with you and Shane. How was that? How was that? I mean, obviously, you know, your guys' relationship today is magic. It must have been interesting, bro, to take that fight on.
Yeah, my toughest fight, to be quite honest. So the reason why I had caught up with a brother many years after the fight, and speaking with him, and then he asked me a question. He said, "Oh, what's your hardest fight? If I tell you, you will not believe me." Is it Lennox Lewis? And nope. Haseem Rockman? Said nope. And he says, Ikey? I said, nope, Shane Cameron. And he goes, what? Said, yeah, it's my hardest fight. And he says, well, can you explain that? I says, well, you know, I've done all those things in the States, and I've lived there. I fought this guy, I fought that guy. Now, and I've come back here, and if I had lost against you, it would have meant that everything I had done in the States were all rubbish. You know, and he goes, wow. I said, yeah. That's why, because, you know, everything that I'd done in the States was on the line.
On the line.
For this fight. Yeah, for this fight. So, but, you know, Shane, you know, I have a lot of time for. I have a lot of respect for him. He's doing great for himself. He's got a gym over on North Shore, and he's doing great things. He's the unsung hero. You know, you don't hear about, you don't see him, but there's a lot of things that Shane is doing with the community, especially with the youth as well.
Yeah, thank you for putting it that way too. It was kind of how I felt too, that there was, you know, I always thought that, and I love Brother Shane as well, I always thought that you were, you know, that it was going to be, you know, a decision in your favour. It was just how it was going to come, I suppose. But it was, and you know, and this, and my kōrero is not to be disrespectful in any particular way. Do you still have your ear to the ground, your eye to the ground on the latest talent that's coming through New Zealand? Are there any New Zealand fighters that you think of, well, this cat looks like he's potentially got an X factor that could potentially go all the way?
To be quite honest, you know, no, I haven't really, but this I know. You know, when I came back, one of the questions that's often asked by the younger ones, the youth, when I'm out in the, and they're speaking at these youth rallies or schools and all that, says, what have you learned? What have you learned? If there was something that you've learned from the title fight, having fought the baddest man, and, you know, because in the world at the time, what can you tell us? What have you learned? I said, there are no lions there. And they said, what? There are no lions up there. I said, I've stood toe-to-toe with the baddest man, and respectfully, you know, he didn't hurt me. He didn't, you know. There are no lions up there. So, which means, and they said, well, can you explain? I said, well, it means, you know, and this is what I've always said, give us the best advice you can give us. Don't be like me, be better than me. Which means, you know, I've been there, but you can do it now. You know, it's not only reachable, but we can become it. Not only we can hold the titles, but we can become champions. So in regards to where things are at with the future generations, we have what it takes. It comes down to the individual, and it takes choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you choose to put yourself through this and that to become that? Are you willing to sacrifice everything that you have to become that? It's a choice. It's about making that choice.
Sure, absolutely. So in absolutely, brother. Agree 1,000%. And I guess part of that, the way that I view what you did, was that you smashed the door down to show that it was possible with your effort. And that every young person that's going to follow after you, the door's already been kicked in. It's up to you to go in there and do the do. As part of that, as part of that world, when you, what were your thoughts? I remember watching a Muhammad Ali fight. I think it was when he lost to Fraser. I think when he lost to Fraser, and I cried, bro. I cried. It was just like he was, you know, he was just a hero. Yeah. Just the hero. What were your thoughts of? And has this come into your world as a world class boxer when Muhammad used his status to fight racism, to not go to Vietnam? What are your thoughts on that? And how do you feel about your stance and being kind of at the opportunity to do things on a political front to make some changes, call for some changes to make people's lives better. What are your thoughts on the way that Muhammad Ali approached that, and what are your thoughts on it, brother?
I'll always honour that, and I will always respect and love that, what Muhammad Ali had done. But that's what we're about. That's what our tangata, you know, it's like that. It's like that saying, you know, e tangata, e tangata, e tangata.
Yeah, brother.
You know, at the end of the day, it's people, people, people. In our life, it's a life of service.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know, we give what we have. We give. There's no, for us, your money is only good when you share it with people, your family, those you love. The knowledge you have is only good if you can share with people. The wisdom you have is only good when you share it with people. And that's why I'm saying, don't be like me. Be better than me.
Yeah, beautiful, brother.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And I'm sure every father's, every mother's, everyone in this country that have done so well, fathers want their sons to be far better fathers than them.
Yeah.
You know, daughters, mums would want their daughters to be better mothers than them. It's the same scenario. That's how I look at it, you know? Yeah. Our life's a life of service.
Yeah, that's beautiful, bro. That is very beautiful. If I was asking you, if I asked you to rate and give us an explanation about each, who would be your three top favorite boxers in your lifetime?
Honestly, I love all of them.
Mm, I get that.
Obviously, Muhammad Ali, because of what he stood for. Mike Tyson, because he's changed the face of boxing. When the great Muhammad Ali left, Joe Frazier, all the greats. I love all of them. The reason why is because I know what they went through. You know, there's so much that the public never gets to see.
Mm.
You know, the blood, the sweat and tears, the heartaches, the frustrations. Not every day you get to feel the best, but you still need to get up and run. You still need to get up and hit that bag. You still need to get up and continuing to keep doing what you need to do. Because nobody's going to do it for you. Mm. Unless you do it, nobody's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, man. Those are beautiful.
So I have, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, no, beautiful. But those are beautiful words. It's like you say, that it's a game. It's a tough game. Probably the toughest game in the world. You know, like you say, you don't go into battle like a rugby team with 14 mates either side of you as you go to war. It's just you. What has and you've probably just explained it. But I will ask you, what has been some of the hardest situations that you've come back inside that boxing world? What was the situation that you, you know, you talked about getting the bronze in when you had to call mum and tell her you hadn't quite got there in 92? What would be another couple of situations that have been really tough mentally that you knew were a challenge that you had to overcome because the job wasn't over? And what was your approach to those things, brother?
I think for me, it's actually loving yourself. Hey, you gotta love. You really, really gotta take time to really love yourself. And that's not being vain. It's not being anything.
Yes.
But sometimes you gotta love yourself. You gotta make time for yourself. you know, and it was a challenge because like I said, because of the people that we are, we always put others before us. Always. That's the way I've been brought up. And I think for me, it's having that challenge of making yourself first sometime. You know, making that time for yourself. Because, you know, like I said about the word choice, because unless you make that choice for yourself, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's really, really not going to happen. Because, you know, when you give, when all you do with your life is give, you need to get back. And unless you be re-injuvenized or get the energy back by resting, you can't give more.
Yeah, very true, brother. You got to fill your own cup up too, eh? So inside inside that space, what does a relaxed in your in your boxing career? What did a relaxing day look like to you? Did that mean instead of training 12 hours a day, you'd only train 11? Was that a relaxed day, or did you or did you actually have a relaxed day? And if you did, what did that look like?
To be quite honest, there were no relaxed days. It was always, you know, the engine was always running, respectfully, brother. It was always running. So, you know, even you know, if I wasn't competing, there was always something to do. There was always something that I had to be part of. It didn't stop, and it hasn't stopped.
Wow.
You know, even though I'm not competing, you know, it hasn't stopped. It's still going.
Yeah, that's beautiful, bro. Hey, to get an inside feel, if you, was it a set plan all the time? Did you need 6 months prep? Did you know every day what that would look like heading to fight day or fight night? Was everything strategically planned from every train to every meal to the amount of rest to the amount of how far out was your schedule to know in your mind that you're going to be 100% come fight night?
I think it's a feeling. It's just having that feeling that everything is clicking and everything is connecting. And even though you might have the greatest camp, you know, it might be 2 months, it might be 3 months, it might be 4 months, it might be a year. But what everything comes down to is when you wake up on the day of the fight, that you're feeling at your best. Because you can have all the greatest camp and all that, but on the day you wake up, the day of the fight, and when you're in the dressing room and you're not feeling your best, you know, there's gonna be some challenges. But when you wake up and you're feeling your best, hey man, this is it. So, you know, once again, it determines on how you feel. Just how you feel. And I think for me, you know, it's not gonna happen overnight. Obviously, it's gonna take a few four or fives, maybe, you know, a little bit more camps to get that connection, to get that right feeling.
So let me ask you this, bro. Where would you go and who would you listen to for motivation when it came to music? For either training, was there a special genre of music? Was there music that you wanted, you know, and I truthfully can't remember the song that you would walk out to. But what were the key songs that were your choice that would get you to that magic place prior to fight night, or on fight night?
Same thing. It's a feeling. So when I I'll give you an example. So when I my fight with Brother Shane, you know, I didn't predetermine, or you know, I had already made up my mind that this was the song. Now, I woke up in the morning. And knowing too well what it took place in Samoa with the tsunami, and I was looking for a song. I was just looking on YouTube, and then one particular song I felt, you know, I felt the energy of the song.
Wow.
And the rest was history. So I think for me, it's feeling, you know. For us, it's you got to have that feeling. It's the energy we have, you know. You got to have that connection. If you don't connect into something, you know, find something that connects.
And so the fight against Lewis, what did you work out to, bro?
Oh no, I didn't walk out to a song. I think I came out to, I think they had the drums. They had the drums there.
Beautiful. What was that, bro? What was that? What did that, how did that get inside?
To be honest with you, I couldn't hear. I didn't even hear the drums.
Serious?
I didn't even hear the drums. Yeah. It would have been better off if I had my Walkman on.
That's what I was thinking, bro. That's what I was kind of thinking, because I would have thought that those drums would have been drowned out, given the size, given the size of that arena and the amount of people in there. That would have been cheering bonkers, bro, with you walking in the way that you did. How did the, so you know, when we're looking at the Terminator scenario, how did that come about, brother? Was that bestowed upon you, or was that something that you thought that you might go down that line?
So for me, well, this is how I feel. Anything needs to be, anything you get in the sports or in life, it needs to be earned with deeds, hard work.
Sure.
So that's pretty much how it came about. So we're at one of the fights, this was earlier on in my career, and I started developing knockouts, and Lou Dua started calling me the Terminator.
Nice.
So I was like, oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlo. Well, it makes sense too. Obviously, the mana of coming from that man who knows his way around, the boxing world to have him bestow that upon you must mean the world as well. You know, if we look at your, I think I'm counting this correct, bro. Like 59 professional bouts. That's an amazing career, bro. How do you feel about that? You know, all the years that you put in, that you were able to accumulate that as a performance in your boxing career, bro. How does it feel to have done that?
It's a privilege. It's an honor. Certainly, it's a good feel. It's a good feel thing. Just to know that, I guess my health, most importantly, you know, I can still spell my name, just, you know.
Shut up, brother.
So it's a really good feeling. Like, once again, you know, most importantly, I'm happy that I'm not boxing anymore, and you know, my health is in good and good condition. I'm in good place. I'm in a good place with myself. And you know, unfortunately, the sport is very unforgiving, and so many of our warriors, those who have fought, you know, some have passed. And some of those who are not doing too good with their health. And I sit here and I'm very grateful, and I thank God every day that my health is in good shape.
Mm. There was we're blessed that that you feel that way too, brother. It's such a great way after, as I just mentioned, 59 fights at extreme level, bro. That's, you know, and to know that you can walk on the face of the earth with a sense of grace, and everything that you have achieved, you know, and the way that you have been honoured, you know, on the Queen's birthday honours as a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit, all those things, you know, the going over to Florida as well in a couple of weeks to be recognised again, which is just so well deserved, bro. And for all of us, you know the Radio Wātea Whānau from Willie Jackson and Fire Dean Jackson all the way down. Everyone's been behind you, even Brother Huck here, you know. We're all behind you. We all love you heaps, bro. On behalf of us, thank you for coming on the Friday night sports talk show, bro, and sharing your wonderful career with us. And bless you, bro. Bless you, my bro. You and your family, stay well, stay healthy, and And yeah, we love you heaps, bro. So we're very honored to have spent some time with you.
Thank you, my brother, for the opportunity. It's always a great, great honor to be on the show and be on Radio Waitea with you and, you know, to have a cordial. And I think next time I need to come in the studio. I need to come in the studio. After all, it's just around the corner from Mum and Dad's house in Mangere. So I'm looking forward to coming in next time. But thank you for allowing me to be on the show with you. And lots of love from us. And kia kaha.
Thank you, brother. You take care. Tō whāsua
fua. Ka kite. Tō whāsua fua.
There you go, fun. How do you go with that? You just had a superstar of the boxing world on our Friday night sports talk show. Great move, Huck. Great way to dial up, push those fingers and dial up Mr. David Tua. Humble. All the great ones are humble. He's here to serve. He's done that, bro. He's served like an incredible cat. He's 59 professional fights, bro. And as he said, today I am fit. And I'm healthy, and he's running every day. So that's, Chuck's, you know, half of us need to be doing that as well. So good on you, brother, and thank you for your time. Another big thank you to, sorry, Fanda, we did say that we were going to get a hold of Te Aropati, but unfortunately we couldn't get through. He probably had another engagement.
He was at a tangi, actually. He just texted, the whānau man, whānau tangi.
On the man whānau?
Yeah, of the man whānau. Georgie man in them.
Oh, gosh, oh, that's sad. Well, there you go. Yeah, so well, me atu ki a koe te rangatira. I taka tōnei, haere koe ki te whiturangitia. Moi mai, moi mai. So on behalf of us, Brother Huck and myself, here on the Friday Night Sports Talk Show, nā mihi araha ki a tātou, hoki mai anō a Tera Wiki, ki ngā kōrero o te Aohā Kinakina, i runga i te Waitea, 6.3 te Eirere.